Where do you go to October?
Really, view.
Oh, I see corn in basin.
Control.
Just a foot.
Hey.
A little bit. It's holding his head up nice and strong. Very good.
So one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Let's see.
Hey folks, just wanted to let you know I'm picking up my son at football currently, so I'm going to be kind of disconnected, but I'm still going to be like online, but I might be unavailable for about 5 to 10 minutes here.
Thank you. That's okay. Okay, I'm calling this meeting to order at 7:31 p.m. The Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. And let's see, first thing I'm going to do is seat Diane D'Annunzio for Steve Clark and Kwan Gordon for Jim Cropley. And then I'm going to move correspondence right to after staff reports, which there won't be any because there are some things relevant to what would happen in the meeting. Okay. But then the first item of business is approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of September 10th, 2025.
Motion to approve the minutes of Wednesday, September 10th, 2025, as written. But when's a regular meeting?
A second round.
Okay, thank you. Motion, Arlene Fiano. Second, Diane D'Annunzio. Let's see. I think the only ones that can vote are the people at the table. Oh, and Cropley is in the waiting room. That doesn't change anything. Except that Jim is now acting for himself and Kwan is deseated. Oh, we love you, Kwan. I'm glad you're here.
Sorry about
Okay.
that. It wouldn't let me into the meeting. I don't know why.
No, I wasn't paying attention. You don't
No,
need to
even
vote.
before I tried earlier and it wouldn't let me in,
Oh.
I thought was weird, but I'm here.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Okay, Jim. We'll just continue to look at the baby face.
So cute.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor for the approval of minutes,
Diane seconded
which
it.
Diane seconded.
Is that
Yes,
okay, even if Jim's here? Is that okay, even if Jim's here?
Yes, because Jim was absent at the last
abstain,
meeting.
please.
Okay.
And so he has to abstain.
Okay.
So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's five aye, and we have and two abstentions. Flick and Cropley. Let's see, residence forum. I don't see anyone, either online or in the audience, present in the hall here. Item number four is staff reports, and there will not be any because neither Patrice nor Mike is available to be with us tonight, and that's without explanation. However, and that's why I'm moving correspondence up till now.
Do you want that to be listed as number 4A or as 5 and renumber everything?
Yes, it's 5 and renumber everything. Thank you.
Renumber it? Okay.
All right, we had a letter in your packet. And see, I got this late this afternoon. Patrice says both Mike and I will be unable to attend tonight's PZC meeting. I emailed the sign regulations, and we have those. And then she mentions an issue which we previously discussed, and that is that our clerk Casey Cannon is not being paid promptly by the Board of Selectmen, and so we are at risk for losing her, and so I want to take up under item 7, new business D, a letter of support for her. Right. And then at the bottom, Mike D'Amato says two things for tonight's meeting for signs. We'll also have to update or potentially eliminate the several definitions for signs in section 3. And then he's also asks the commission for feedback or a determination on how they feel appearances such as generators, LP tanks, condenser units should be regulated. The definition of structure currently reads that which is built, constructed, installed, or erected. You certainly could argue that a generator is installed, but I think a non-permanent improvement that doesn't require installation onto concrete pad or piers, etc., should potentially be eligible for some relief. These things are generally located in the side or rear yard. To have them observe the same setbacks can be challenging. And so he'd be interested in the commission's feedback, and we can also take that up later. And so signs is going to be 8A. And discussion of the use table is going to be item 8B.
Do you mind if I ask Casey a question?
You certainly may.
So, Casey, if we send a letter of what was the
support.
Word? Support. Well, that I'm not so sure that's going to help you get your paycheck, but I mean, you would be truly missed by all of us. So, would that be an encouragement for you to stay?
No, absolutely.
Gotta make it work.
It absolutely would. I actually have a call scheduled with Jim and Kathy tomorrow. I've received a lot of support and I'm so grateful. We did discuss the issues at the board meeting last night. There was sort of a resolution to refer the matter to the personnel subcommittee and to bring it back for discussion in November. However, I submitted my letter on Friday and said, you know, this is my last 2 weeks. I would finish out these meetings. So I'm kind of left hanging until November. But I think that hopefully there's going to be a resolution or a proposal tomorrow when I talk to Jim and Kathy. If they can just get the process straightened out to where I can rely on my payments to get here in a timely manner, I'm happy to stay. The issue is that the meetings that I did a month ago, the first week of September for, you know, I had three this week. I had three that first week of September. They should have been on the AP report for September 23rd. And there was only one meeting on there that was from September 2nd. But I had meetings on the, I think, the 4th, the 7th, the 8th. And I had all my invoices in on time. But they're just not making it to the next AP report. So I have to wait another 2 weeks until they have another AP meeting to make sure it got on that report. Then it has to be approved by the board, which it was last night. They were all finally on there. And then they mail the check because I'm in Arizona. They don't, I guess, mail them until Friday. So it's not like I'll get it at the end of this week. I usually have to wait till sometime next week, and I don't know what day. So I'm just really having a hard time budgeting because of the delays. And this is like the third time this has happened, that it's not been on that next AP report as it should. And as the board discussed last night, there's just been sort of some finger pointing as to, well, what happens to my invoice after I submit it? You know, because it goes to Kathy, and then Kathy says, well, I turned it into Jill, and Jill says, well, I didn't get it. And, you know, there's this disconnection somewhere. And I've been complaining about it since they transitioned me to a contractor in January, because I didn't get paid at all in January, and then I didn't get paid until May for several meetings in February, March, and April. So there was a 3 month delay on those. So that's my issue. I'm not too concerned with the process. I understand there's a 2 week delay or even a 3 week delay with the mail, and I'm okay with that. It's when it goes beyond that that I don't get an explanation, I don't get a warning, and I get behind on my bills. You know, it's not a lot of money, but it goes towards my bills. So that's the issue.
So that was the reasoning. It's just someone's dropping the ball.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple times. So,
Tom, is there any way that maybe you could also call and, you know, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I went to the, I was at the Board of Selectmen last night, and I hadn't looked at what time they actually meet, so I didn't get to talk. But one of the things that I'm going to suggest to them is use like Zelle out of your bank account.
Yeah, yeah, that was Amanda. It's or FedEx the payment. You know, Amanda suggested that, and they just you know, really stuck to this as our process. She's a subcontractor.
Well, Zelle doesn't cost anything.
All right.
They're happy.
Right.
They're happy
and
to
I
do
have
it.
Zelle. I have Cash App. I have Venmo. Anything.
So that's
that would help.
They can do. Yeah, that's something they can do right out of their bank account.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk about that.
And, thank you.
And the other thing is, I'm responsible one way or another for making sure that contractors get paid. And one of the things that I've learned in 40 years in construction is that the building contractors, if they get paid, they're really easy to work with.
Yeah.
And so I always put them first. People are at me about all kinds of things all day long, but as soon as one of these pay requests comes in, I process it right away. I just put everything else aside and do it. And they can do the same thing.
Well, and that's part of the problem is I never received any sort of a contract outlining the terms or payment arrangements. I was just told, oh, well, you could be getting paid once a month. You could be getting paid every couple of weeks. We just don't know because it depends on the AP process.
There should be a letter of appointment. It doesn't have to be a contract. It just has to give you the information.
All right.
Who's the main person that you deal with? Who is the person you're supposed to call if there's a problem? Do you know?
Kathy.
Kathy. Okay.
Yeah. And it part of the problem is just there's been no proposal for a resolution, no response. I've emailed them a couple times about it. Kathy's been, you know, great to work with. I have nothing against her or the finance department or anything. I just am trying to get it resolved so I can continue working here because I really do love working with all of you. And I will stay if we can get it situated. And the concern isn't just for me. It's for the other board clerks that this may be happening to, and they're just not comfortable speaking up.
It's frustrating because I have a very small issue on my little plate. It has nothing to do with this board, but it took me 3 months to get a real response from Mr. Jim from Rupert. 3 months, and he kept hemming and hawing, and then finally gave me an answer, and it's so unnecessary. What is going on? My big question is, what is going on at this town hall?
Right. Right. That's my question too.
I'm going to make a quick point here. Anytime we do local or federal work, it's always ACH. Have you filled out an ACH form and have that contracted with the town?
No, I was originally a W-2 employee, and so I was paid through direct deposit. I was never offered, even though I've asked, to be paid electronically.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can listen to the meeting last night. It's under item 3, public comment, if you want more information. But I'm just hoping that tomorrow's meeting will smooth things out. And one of the concerns was, well, is this going to keep happening if I do leave and they replace me? Gwen said, what are we supposed to tell them? Oh, well, you might get paid once a month. We're not sure. So there's a lot of concern about the process. And there should be. This shouldn't happen. And
well, thank you for sticking it out as long as you have. Let's see if we can't get it. Tom can't work on getting it straightened out for them.
Thank you so much.
So Casey, could you just quickly recap what the next steps per your understanding are? So did you say earlier that you're supposed to have a follow-up meeting with Kathy, and then sometime in November, you're hoping for a final resolution?
So I was contacted by Kathy today to meet with both her and Jim Rupert tomorrow. The meeting last night was, my understanding now that I've done the minutes, was that Amanda and Gwen advocated for, and Pam Sawyer advocated for sending this to the personnel committee. But Jim Rupert and the first selectman said she's not an employee. It shouldn't go to the personnel committee. And Pam Sawyer argued that she's a subcontractor doing job duties that would normally fall to an employee. So we think it is appropriate. So they did end up voting that. And then Pam said, I would like them to come back with a response. But as Amanda noted, the personnel subcommittee has never met and nobody knew who it was made up of. So,
oh, good Lord.
I'm kind of lost. That's my understanding as it is going to some committee for review. And Amanda had suggested that the administration and somebody from finance or the finance committee or somebody meet with me and work out a resolution. So I'm hoping that's what the meeting is about tomorrow. Or it could be that I've caused too much trouble and
I am sorry you're the victim, but I am so glad that this has been made fairly public because there is something very wrong about what's going on here. I mean, this is so fundamental, and there should be no excuse for this.
Thank you.
I am sorry from the town
board. Thank you. I appreciate it, and I'm glad you understand and see the frustration because I really do enjoy the work. You know, I'm asked sometimes to rush things or, you know, step in when someone's not available. I'm always happy to do it and to be receive this in response. It's just disheartening. So I try to do a good job and I just want to be paid in a timely manner. And you know, they were also saying that one of the issues is they can't treat me any differently. But what I highlighted in my resignation,
nobody.
Right. Well, Patrice Carson, for example, is on a contract and gets paid biweekly. So why aren't all the contractors that way since she's also an independent contractor? So it's an issue of fairness and consistency, too.
Oh, my God. You know, I just have the feeling that it's something very basic, like somebody doesn't know how to do something. I mean, they literally don't know how to do it. So rather than address that issue, they just say it can't be done. You know, I don't know. I'm guessing now.
It's that or just the invoices getting lost in the process. There's just no assurance that it's been received for me. You know, Kathy will say, hey, I got it. You know, thank you for the invoice. Because I submit them right after the minutes are complete. So I'll send an invoice for this meeting tomorrow when I'm done with the minutes. I'm sending one tonight for the boss meeting that I did last night, you know, so they're getting them right away. And then I don't know what happens to them from there.
What was the reason that they made you a subcontractor versus just a employee?
So they said they had an audit last year. And then last night, the first selectman said that it's because I'm in Arizona and to pay an out-of-state employee, they have to pay extra costs like for workers' comp. The Arizona requires these additional costs, you know, and I don't know much about taxes, but I don't make enough to even file. You know, I didn't report the income last year because it was, I think, you know, $4,000 or less, you know, there's a limit. So I'm not sure if that's true under a certain income or not, but I guess Social Security taxes and things that required by Arizona rather than Connecticut. I'm not sure of the details, but the workers' comp was the example that he cited.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. The next item is old business other, and we don't have any, so I'm going to move on to new business 7A, discussion decision schedule of 2026 regular meeting dates. We have the draft in front of us, and the only question is what to do about the November meeting, because it's Veterans Day, and we cannot meet on a legal holiday.
Okay.
And obviously the alternatives are the 4th. And the 18th, because the 25th is the day before Thanksgiving.
The 18th for me would be during
crafts.
A busy week.
Crafts
week. Yeah. So the 4th would.
Yeah, and I won't. I'll be out of the country then too on the 18th.
Next year or this year, Jim? This is next year.
Next year.
I won't be here.
Okay.
I won't be here this year either, but I won't be here next year.
So the 4th would work out better for you?
Yep.
It sounds like two.
Works for me.
It's fine.
Anybody else have a negative comment?
So the options at this time was for the 4th and the 11th.
4th and the 18th.
4th and 18th. The 4th would be preferable currently for me.
Good.
So the only thing you need to check is make sure there's no meetings here.
No other meetings. Yeah, that we'll have to. Okay, well, we're approving this a year in advance. We should be able to.
Yeah, but I guess I was just thinking if there's a commission that meets regularly,
they would hold the spot, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. But automatically they would fill it.
Worst case scenario, we go down to, or they go down to one of the other rooms.
It seems okay to me.
Okay, so do we have a motion to accept the yes, that we've got
it all up.
I make a motion to approve the 2026 Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting date schedule as presented with a change to November 4th. And file it with the town clerk's office as required by statute. Is there a second?
I second that. Oh, sorry, Jim.
No, that's fine.
We have three seconds. motion Manning, second Robbins. Okay, all in favor say aye.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Tom Robbins.
Tom Robbins, thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? That's 7-0-0. And we have already discussed a letter of support for Clerk Casey Cannon, and I will take care of that. Ongoing discussion, Bolton Subdivision and Zoning Regulations. This is item 8. And let's look at signs. Article 18 signage, 450-18.1. Okay, all right, now I get the code. Patrice Carson 1. We would have to remember pre-codification. Okay, no problem. 2. Do we need to say anything about controlling the number of signs or preserving the right of free speech or expression? Mm-hmm. Let's see what the purpose is.
Mike answers him. I don't think we need to state that since the regulations intended to be content neutral.
Okay. So I think I agree with Mike. That's it. The purpose must be just what we already have. Content neutral, consistent, and supportive of the community and local businesses, and to accomplish the following. Recognize the need for signs as a major form of communication while encouraging thoughtful design, spacing, materials, and location with a minimum of clutter. Provide for consistent treatment of all signage. Promote public safety by providing that official traffic regulating devices are easily visible. Excessive numbers of signs or other signs resembling official traffic signs, I think that's a good idea. To balance economic development and the preservation of locally and historically significant town elements. Okay. Prohibited signs. Patrice asks, do we want to consider prohibiting banners, pennants, streamers, structural canopy signs, i.e. gas stations, roof signs, LED window signs, internally lit signs, vehicle signs, portable signs? And then Mike says, we could include that or something that prohibits any sign not expressly allowed.
We had a big, huge discussion about internally lit signs and all that stuff in the last signage regulation thing. The signs come before us for, they already can't have a flashing neon. That's not allowed. Says right up there, there's no flashing.
So I'm thinking that an internally lit sign is a sign that's like behind a glass window or some sort, and it is lit from a source that is actually in the building, and therefore there's nothing that extends beyond the face of the building for that sign.
It could be a monument sign. It's just sitting out in the yard and has translucent panels.
Okay.
And it's internally illuminated.
Oh, it could be that also.
Like Simon Eyes, which is actually very attractive.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very attractive. And
it's a very nice sign.
Yeah.
So we took a ride the other night.
We did our sign tour.
Our sign tour.
Forget all about it.
Can you specifically guarantee that that would be the type of sign that you would want, though? That would look.
Most signs come in for approval, correct? By the building officials?
Yes.
Yes.
It's part of the package deal, isn't it?
Well, they have to be. I haven't read the rest of this, but I thought they had to be approved. Not by us, but by staff.
Oh.
They have to meet all the things.
Right.
So, I mean, I get a little. I don't want people to not be able to create a really nice sign. And if our thing said an internally lit sign, we wouldn't have a Simonized sign, which I think is an attractive sign.
Yeah.
And that also, I consider that also to be a safety thing too, is that, you know, if it's placed near like a driveway, that helps illuminate that at night too.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, so that you know, there's benefits to it. It's not all negative. And things like banners, pennants, streamers. If someone is starting a business, one of the ways they may do signage is actually have it printed on a big piece of fabric type thing with grommets in it and tie and attach it to a structure kind of thing. Would that be a banner? Would that be prohibited? That it would.
you know, what's a banner?
Those are usually temporary.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, if it's a new business, it should be allowed for a short period.
Right. You can see where it says, I think some of that stuff, you know, like easel boards and that kind of stuff can be put up. They just can't be left all the time.
Right. And we had electronic messaging signs that were supposed to be prohibited, and the fire department put one up.
Well, that,
as we discussed,
yes,
town doesn't have to obey its own regulations.
I know. I know.
Is it fair?
No, it's not.
That's a safety ticker.
What's that?
That's a safety ticker that runs constant news for general, you know, fire status warnings, possible amber alerts. That information has to constantly be changed. That's the reason that you have that one at a public safety complex.
Okay. So that's conditional then.
Oh, good Lord.
And we've already got, we already have what Mike said about, and it's the last line, any sign not expressly permitted by these regulations. But,
yeah, I read through them. I thought they were pretty nice. I mean, I think the other ones are just too much. The old ones are just way overdone. I mean, there's clauses in this that, you know, if someone comes in for something a little different, we could actually look at it. Mm-hmm. I think is a good idea.
Jim, didn't you sit on the old sign committee?
No, I did not. Oh. I did, though, go to the Board of Selectmen and at that point in time and went over the sign stuff with them, which was not a very good meeting because, you know, they think that we hate businesses and everything else, so. I did that as a favor to another board member, which I should have never done.
Oh, I see what Mike is saying, that they should have, we should have the planner involved with the review of signs, not necessarily the zoning enforcement officer. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, anytime a proposal comes in, there's always a landscaping, lighting, signage portion of any proposal that's presented to P&Z anyway. So anything can be looked at and properly addressed. I mean, we had a huge discussion about the possible movement of Bolton Vet Hospital there, and lighting, landscaping, and signage was like a 3-month meeting.
Okay, let's see. Do we want to make any changes to Section C, prohibited signs? I don't see any reason to change those.
Section C, okay.
Section C, before we move on.
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, permanent signs permitted in commercial or industrial zones. Primary attached signs, a wall sign mounted parallel to the building facade, and I think extending not more than 16 inches from a wall is redundant because we've already prohibited them.
In the number 7, just above.
And the D1 attached signs in the first line of primary attached signs. In lieu of a wall sign, an overhanging sign projecting perpendicular or oblique to building or extending more than 16 inches from the wall.
I found that kind of confusing because it's basically the same thing. Because your facade hanging sign is going to be 16 inches, so that's going to either be on a bracket, but what are they going to be hanging that wall sign from at 16 inches from the facade of the building? But I that one was a little confusing to me, but the restrictions are the same from what I understand here.
All right, 1 square foot area, permitted area, 1 square foot per linear foot of building frontage of a single tenant building or unit frontage of a multi-tenant building. And then the third line is an additional wall sign of equal size and design to the primary sign, or in the case of buildings with multiple frontages, multiple entrances, or locations of parking, one larger sign oriented to the building entrance may be permitted. Okay. And for that sign, you get a half square foot per linear foot of secondary building frontage. Okay, permit. Collins co-authorizes the planner to do permit reviews, which is why it says staff. If we need to specify, we could include ZEO, but the PZC may want the planner to be involved in sign review.
The staff, is it a broader category? So one's not available and the other step in.
I would think we would want them both to do it, wouldn't we?
I would say yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So does staff not cover it? Do we have to say both?
I think that's an internal problem for staff to work out. You know, somebody needs to decide, probably the planner needs to decide who's going to do that. But it's a staff decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise, then you have to take off if you say both should review it, well, that might hold up projects, wouldn't it? If we're giving.
Yeah, they're going to talk anyways. It's not like some person's going to come in and want to put up a sign and Patrice isn't going to talk to Mike, or Mike isn't, you know what I mean? And whoever's, yeah. I would think they would discuss, they would both discuss it. It's not.
And then decide, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I think it's the really issue is staff versus commission, and it's staff.
Yeah.
Let's see, it says lighting. And the permitted methods are internal, indirect, channel, or halo. Channel would be like around the outside of your recess, and then they have, there's different kinds of flexible strip lighting that can go in there.
I don't know what halo is though. Is that like top down lit on top of it? Must be like it's for the
picture
halo.
Light.
We're gonna find out right now.
I'm a little bit leery about this because technology changes so fast. There might be something that's readily available and excellent to use in 3 years. Do we have to go back and change this, you know, kind of thing?
What is halo lighting?
Halo lighting is when every letter is lit up individually. Like a backlit. So basically it's got like a halo behind the rear of whatever literature you're trying to display. So if you have like the word like true value, every light will have a rear or an interior light that basically creates a small halo around that letter.
Right. So Tom, if you were to search halo signage and look at images, you should get a good idea of what that is.
I believe Munson's has one, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me.
So to Tamara Lee's point, is there a type of lighting that's out there that is not listed here that should be listed?
Could we have a general statement saying that, you know, lighting can be used as long as it doesn't, and I think it says in there, protrude out in the parking lot, you know, obstruct someone's vision on the road? Because you're right. I mean, who knows? Something could change and then someone's going to have to come in and change the regulation again. Is there a way that we can leave that open? Because we don't really care how it's lit. We just don't want it to be, one, we don't want it to be, you know, like a neon sign. We don't want it to be, you know, we don't want the sign to point out in the road so it obstructs someone's vision or the light, you know.
Be a distraction.
Be a distraction. Do we really care what kind of lights they use?
Yeah, we already have a prohibition against flashing, rotating, moving signs, including glittery, fluorescent finishes, or finishes that apply movement. I think we could just add a note, or as determined by staff.
Right. I mean, I think that just simplifies it much easier.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because all four of these are different styles of lighting for signage. Internal would be your plastic box that's got a light behind the plastic covering. Your indirect would have your overhanging light shining down onto the sign, or maybe ground mounted with lights in the earth, you know, washing the sign. Your channel, I don't know what channel lighting is. I could probably look that up. And then obviously we already discussed halo.
Tom just described channel.
It would be like a border of light around the outside of a sign. That provides the light for the sign.
Just the one I'm looking like Vegas.
One thing?
So just the one I'm looking like Las Vegas.
Yeah. No, Las Vegas.
So channel is kind of like Halo.
Yeah.
Essentially. Ooh. Gotta love Google.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. The next one is roof signs.
We don't allow them.
We currently don't allow roof signs. And Mike says, I don't think they should be allowed. This should be removed.
Can be.
Hmm?
Can be.
Can be removed.
I didn't say should.
He says, I don't think they should be allowed.
Yeah. This can.
This can be removed. Does anyone want to remove roof signs?
Sure.
If you do that, you have to make a stipulation on primary attached signs to be no a certain proximity from the roof line.
Well, we've already pretty well described what a primary attached sign is as a wall sign.
Right, but we don't specify proximity as to where it is in the wall or location. It's only 16 inches from the wall. Doesn't say how high, how close to the ground, and the proximity to the roof line.
Well, my thinking is if it's a roof sign, you've got it plastered up on your roof. And we're just saying you can't plaster it up on your roof.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would consider a wall, I mean, a sign that goes above.
Not more than 60 inches from the building. That's 60 inches above the building, 16 inches out from the building.
But even if you had a flat roof building and the sign went up above the flat roof, to me, that's not a
roof sign.
A roof sign is something fixed to a roof. Am I too literal?
What's this right? Here? Not
it's supported by the roof. Roof sign is supported by the roof.
Right. Or actually written in the tile on the roof. Or whatever.
For the planes that are flying over?
Because it specifies a flat roof.
Flat roof. Right. Mm. Okay. So I don't
not to see.
I don't see the conflict there, Jeremy. I mean, if it goes above a flat roof, the plane of a flat roof, I think that's fine as long as it's attached to the wall.
Is there a reason Mike didn't think we should have a lot of roof signs?
He said we...
He didn't give a reason. He just said, I don't think they should be allowed.
Again, all of these are under discussion upon, you know, I'm requesting a permit anyway.
Right. But if we prohibit roof signs, I don't think we need this. I don't think you need this paragraph.
Okay, so do you want to add a prohibition on roof signs?
I thought we'd already said that.
Well, I was just gonna take them out. And it's any sign not expressly permitted by these regulations covers it.
Gosh, I don't see where it says no, this doesn't say no.
It says we currently don't allow roof signs on Patrice's comment.
Yeah, and indeed this can be removed.
But it doesn't say no roof signs in prohibited signs. Am I wrong?
It does not say that.
Does not. So just add that to that.
So I make a line
nine
after seven.
Yeah.
Roof signs
And then I can stretch this.
Yeah, that kind of simplifies it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you doing there after number seven?
We are adding roof a sign. Prohibition roof signs.
Okay.
Under C.
C7.
So it'll become
C7.
It'll be eight, and eight will be renumbered to nine.
Okay. Thank you.
And then the two lines about roof signs will be taken out of the table.
Yes.
Okay, secondary wall signs. Less than 12 square feet, one for common entrance, 1 square foot per tenant up to 12 square feet total.
Did we skip something? I'm sorry.
What second wall?
This over the top here is part of this.
Oh, okay. Coming out. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't realize that. No. Oh, it's scratched out.
Yeah.
But sorry.
A secondary wall sign more than 12 square feet as approved by the commission. And as for lighting, we're just going to add as determined by staff. Canopy sign. In lieu of an additional wall sign, painted or affixed to a permanent automotive fuel or service canopy, one.
I thought we didn't allow that. Oh, but we can if we want to.
It's right now, the canopy signs are not prohibited.
And usually the sign is integrated right into the canopy, isn't it?
Up until now, we have forbidden that.
Oh.
But I don't see why.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's keep canopy signs.
All right, detached signs. And as for canopy signs, Mike says, I think the rule to prohibit them is antiquated, and essentially all of the canopies in town have the signage, so it might be worth regulating. Okay. Okay, now for detached signs. Mike comments, I would suggest that the PZC consider these as not requiring PZC approval. If we set the size, location, and illumination, there is no real review that takes place, given that we can't control the content. Oh, and that's because the first line in detached signs, the freestanding sign, one per parcel, and it's approved by the commission.
I think we should move to staff.
I think we should change that to staff.
Do you have to change it, this word to staff as well?
Yeah, I'm just going to wipe up the line. A second freestanding sign of similar design may be approved if the commission finds the second sign will promote safer traffic operations and the lot has frontage on and access from two public streets.
Well, that makes sense. If they have access, they could have.
We're going to strike if the commission finds. If staff finds.
You know, one of the only conditions that we're fortunate right now is we really have a good staff.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, Jim.
You know,
do you think we're signed or waiving all our rights and responsibilities?
It is day to day activity. I just, you know, we've been through since
you and I have been on the board too long.
Yeah, I mean, things haven't been I don't know the right word to say, but is not
competent. You can say it.
I'm not going to say it. I just, you know, I mean, I think it's great. I think that's what we need to do because I don't think all those things should come to us. But, you know, I do have a consideration. You know, we have a great staff now, and there was a time when we didn't, and some of these things would have been never approved or would have went on for months. You know, I don't know how we change that or, you know, I mean, because we have, you know, no bearing on who they hire or who's what staff is. But, you know, I mean, I think it's the right thing to do. I just get concerned, you know, that we, you know, we could be setting ourselves up at some point. But I guess we could always take that up when we, you know. If we have a problem.
If it happens again.
Yeah.
Cross that bridge when we get there.
I guess that's what we're going to have to do. I mean, I'm just bringing it up. I mean, I think it's great. But, you know, but in the past, you know, Arlene can, you know, it just wouldn't have gone as well as it goes now. So I guess we just have to keep an eye on that and hope for the best. And we also have the commission is totally different than it used to be, too. So I think between the commission that we have now and the staff, I think things move along quicker, are more friendly than we've had in the past. But that's just my own observation.
Okay, the next line is a freestanding low profile. In lieu of any other freestanding sign, one freestanding low profile sign less than 4 feet in height above the surrounding grade, including those designed as a stone wall, retaining wall, or other landscape feature, which are designed to incorporate natural materials that reflect site characteristics and additional plantings. And I think we can just assign that one to staff because it has a limitation on the has a limitation on the size. Unified development sign. For developments which have been approved, designed, and designated as a business park, I'm going to change that to business or industrial park. A sign at each major entrance. And we can take out a sign at each major entrance because it says that in the next column, one per major entrance. Size is approved by the commission and the permit is by the commission and lighting is approved by the commission. I think that this one is appropriate to do this way because these are likely to be
major signs.
These are likely to be demands for larger much larger signs, maybe more
bigger developments.
Bigger developments, which would be we should be so lucky as to get.
I was thinking to myself, we're going to get a business park, but we could. We should aspire.
And but this will happen so infrequently that if we have to take it up, it'll be just part of the approval of the development.
Yeah.
Directional device shall be set back a minimum of 100 feet from a public street or oriented so that it is not directed towards traffic on a public street. I think they must mean internal directional device, like this way to the dentist, this way to Dollar General.
Yeah.
If you didn't already know.
So, Tom, you mentioned Dollar General. So this new regulation actually would allow the because didn't it say in there per lot? So remember the dentist was in complaining?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So wouldn't this allow them to have their own sign?
No, this is one per major entrance. And since that development has only one major entrance, they would get one sign for the whole development.
But the one they have, I'm quite sure, is smaller than the one that would possibly be allowed.
Yeah.
It's really quite dinky.
It is.
And unlit.
It's their choice.
I know.
And no lighting, it says, or directional device. Well, you're going to see it in the daytime, mm-hmm. and at night you're going to have your headlights on.
Mm-hmm. GPS.
Building has it on
earth. Traffic control device. On-premises traffic control structure necessary for direction, convenience to the public, and control of traffic and parking in accordance with the manual on uniform traffic control devices as amended. Maximum number not applicable. That would have to be a pretty big development to have its own stuff.
Sides. Oh, pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
Okay, no permit required because it's a traffic control structure, which is probably required by the selectmen. Window signs. Non-illuminated window signs. Maximum number is not applicable. They can take up to 25% of the window area. No permit is required. And they can't be illuminated. Well, of course they can't be illuminated because they are non-illuminated windows. All right. Well, I'm just going to talk about something I saw today. There was this development in South Windsor, East Hartford. But anyway, they built a strip shopping mall, but they only developed half of it. So the other half is just a shell. It doesn't even have a slab in it because they don't know where the plumbing's going to go. And the outside looks like it's an occupied structure because it has window signs plastered.
Oh,
it's across.
Like Disney World.
Yep, mm-hmm. Like Disney World.
False front.
Hmm.
Why don't we want insights on the illuminated?
Well, we're going to have illuminated window signs.
No, in the inside. It says here.
What page are we on?
Illuminated window signs.
Illuminated, okay.
Why do they think they don't need them?
Well, actually, I find all the little neon or fake neon signs that they have, like at the liquor stores and restaurants. I find those kind of interior.
I'm wondering why they don't want them. I mean, it's a question of.
I think we should leave this and ask the next time.
You know, is it a question of taste or what? You know, because I was thinking, like you said, liquor stores, don't they have the brands have their little.
Yeah, yeah.
Bud Light.
Yeah.
Well, they're tchotchke for sure, but I don't know if that's what they're thinking. It's not in keeping with a certain look, but. We don't have a certain look that defines the whole town. So I think to not allow them is, don't know if that's right.
Yeah, I don't think it's right either.
Yeah, I think
and what are we with all the ones that are up? Gonna make them take them down?
Exactly. Yeah.
They were prohibited before, even in the old regulation.
Yeah. And I think they're fine.
And I think when we first started, I think they tried to get the package stores to take them down, and you see how well that worked out.
you gotta. If I was a business, and I thought that a sign at night that was in my window that was lit up was going to bring somebody in, I'd want to be able to put that sign in the window.
This is going to sound weird, but are lottery signs internally? Are they lit up, Connecticut Lottery or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are.
Some of them are like that. But...
Yeah.
So we're going to say to the state of Connecticut?
Because what?
They'll say, well, I don't hear you. But
I'd much rather have like illuminated signs than all these placards that they just tape to the windows, you know, like Corona, Modelo, Bud Light. Just have like a nice placard, not some crappy yard sign that you tape to your windows. But
you don't like the windows looking like a teenager's wall?
No, I'm not a big fan of the dorm room facade.
There you go. That's a prohibited dorm room facade. That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, they might get paid to put those signs up.
True. Sure.
For advertising.
Well, we have to put a big question mark there.
I think we should just leave them. I don't think we even need to ask him.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if Mike wants to give us his reasons why, then he can do that. Maybe he has a very good reason, but not one that.
The gas station put signs in their windows.
What's that, Jim?
Even the gas stations do it.
Yeah.
So it's not only the package store, it's the gas stations. You know, they're all doing it. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, they're all fighting for business. I mean, they need to advertise as much as they can to.
Yeah, I agree.
And they tend to be small because you have to be able to, you know, mail them out in a package and hang them, an individual hang them in the window. Okay, let's see. That was D. So now we're on E, permanent signs permitted in residential zones. Announcement sign located within 10 feet of the building and on the premises for which an approved home occupation permit has been issued. Patrice asked, do we currently allow home occupation signs? Yes, I think it's 1.5 square feet or 2.5 square feet. Something
we don't.
Like
that. We should.
Yeah. Within 10 feet of the building, what if they have a
I know
a
driveway that goes forever, yeah.
So back to the Mike's comment up here on E, permitted signs in residential zones. He thinks that, he asks, why not in the RMUZ zones? Why not in all the other zones? Or you could have mixed use, right?
So this is residential zones, not RMUZ, et cetera.
Just in resident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got well, it. if you had a home occupancy business in a business zone, you could have this. It would fall under the business zone regulation.
Yeah, because that would be things like, you know, or offices, right? Things like that, and you can't put a sign out closer to the room.
Same thing for daycare. I mean, there's daycare, there's hairdressers. I mean, there's all kinds of.
I think the 10 feet thing is.
Gun shop.
It's awful close.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's more. We're too rural for that, I think, what I'm saying.
I think
that.
Maybe we could just scratch that located within 10 feet of the building, just as on the premises for which an approved home occupation permit has been issued.
Yes.
That sounds good. Yes.
Better.
Well, should we put something in there, though, for setback off the road and that kind of stuff? I mean.
Well, we have. It can't be in the right of way.
And it can't distract traffic.
And that's going to set you back 5 or 10 feet on most roads in Bolton.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're right.
Primary wall sign. Okay, 4 square feet is like 2 by 2 or 1 by 4, like about that size. And 16 square feet is 4 by 4. But it's got to be mounted to the building, so it's not, you know, it's going to be a certain distance from the street.
And it depends on the building. Size.
Well, it's going to be somebody's house. Most likely.
It might be a barn.
Freestanding sign on properties with frontage or visibility to a state road. Properties with frontage or visibility on any local road. This is where you get your sign at the end of the driveway. Mary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So wait. Are we gonna increase the home occupation to 16 square feet since 2 by 2 sign is too small? So curtain regulars will sound not to exceed a half square foot. This isn't reasonable. I would suggest this number be increased.
Not a half.
That's for the home.
The one on the top?
Yes, for the announcement sign.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Yep.
It needs to be on a half. He's pointing to announcement sign.
That's one within 10 feet.
So. Instead of 2 by 2 to 2 by 4, have it 8 square feet?
Well, Now that I've read through some of the other kinds of signs, I understand why the 4 by 4, the 4 square foot sign is located within 10 feet of the building.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it directs you to the door.
Yeah.
Do you think it needs to be bigger?
No, I don't think it needs to be bigger. I mean, that's like this.
Okay.
Well, they're allowed one sign. from what I understand, correct?
Yep.
Max number one.
The max number of announcement signs. You also get a primary wall sign
or
and a freestanding sign.
Are we going to really allow three signs on a residential business? I really don't think that's necessary.
Well, you get a business sign and a door location sign. That's two.
Well, we're just talking residential, like a private residence, single dwelling, you know, daycare, attorney, accountant, hair salon.
Well, if they're like a daycare, they might have like a sign directing like parking, something like that. Right?
Just because all these are options doesn't mean they get them all, does it?
But
they could if they want to push the envelope.
My guess is
I thought you could that, only that have
my guess is that they would choose either a primary wall sign or a freestanding sign for somebody with a long driveway.
Yeah.
Because having the primary wall sign at that point would not be useful to them because you can't see it anywhere.
Should we specify that?
Yeah, we should.
We could say or a primary wall sign or a freestanding sign.
Yep. Okay.
You know, maybe, you know, permanent signs permitted on residential zones are allotted one per business per location. You know, whether it be freestanding, primary wall.
Still think you should allow the smaller one because, like I said, that might be necessary to designate parking or designate where to find the door.
Right. Which door in the house you use for the business.
Yeah. And that
and it's
4 square feet.
And they're going to be, it's going to be so close to the house that it's not going to interfere with
the neighbors.
Right. So what is the current regulation as it applies to this section? I think we have what the 4 square footage is in the current regulations. For home occupancy. This is current, yes.
Well, I think this is taken from the Tallinn regulations because the some of the names that are crossed out, like we don't have an RDD and VCZ zones. This is taken from Tallinn.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from the town of Tallinn. Yeah, I'm sorry. These are the current ones in the town.
As a model. And we discussed that previously that we were going to use them.
It is a VCZ zone.
So it says, do we currently allow home occupation signs in Bolton?
Yes, but they're not to exceed a half square foot.
Well, I see. Actually, here's the answer. But read.
Like you could say, Dr. Bones.
Yeah.
That hurts. And he says he would suggest this number be increased beyond a half for the half square.
Well, it is. It is bigger in the new regs.
Yeah.
In these regs.
Yeah.
And then the freestanding sign is larger if it's on a state road where the speed would be faster, and smaller on a local road. But I think since we're giving a limitation in this case to the freestanding sign, we could give it back to staff.
Sure.
Unified development sign on properties with a valid subdivision or multifamily development project approval. Millionaire acres or something like that. Hanover Farms had that kind of cachet.
Let's see if we get one.
In other words, if in a development they would have like an entry sign that says, you know, Maple Village or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the directional device, it says no permit required. Maximum area per sign, 2 square feet. Okay. I think we can move that. Temporary signs may be displayed in accordance with the table below. But what time is it? Oh, it's 8:55. Jim, it's time for you.
Mr. Chairman, yeah? Adjourn. I was shocked. I thought we were going to finish these.
Is there a second?
Oh,
second, Diane. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's unanimous, and we are adjourned at 8:55 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Got it. Thank you.
Have
a good night.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Night. Good luck, Casey.
Thank you.
Good luck, Casey.
It's good luck for all of us, I hope.
Yeah.
Yes, good luck. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Are we just connected now, everyone?
All I know is there's a whole lot of yawning going on at that table.
Hey.
You're not.